All right, what is up, everybody? How you doing out there? I'm Dan, here with Steven. This is Living Off the Land, episode 274. And this is Wednesday.
Hump day.
And you know what that means.
This is old school. Us doing LTO on a Wednesday. I like it.
Full disclosure, both of us forgot about it yesterday. So we're here tonight. And quite frankly, actually, it's kind of worked out for the good because we have a big Cavaliers victory to talk about tonight later on in the episode. We would not have had that opportunity if we did the episode last night. Maybe we would have – well, quite frankly, we would have probably checked out as the game was going on because the Cavaliers were down by 20 points in the fourth quarter. But nonetheless, they did not end the game 20 points down. In fact, they ended the game 1 point to the good, and the Cavs get a huge win last night, 105-104 against the best team in the NBA record-wise this year, the Boston Celtics. So Cavs won shorthanded as well. No Donovan Mitchell last night, no Max Strus. Evan Mobley got hurt in the second quarter, did not finish the game. He looks like he's going to be out for a while with an ankle sprain. And, yeah. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. You guys heard me open a can. So the beer of the week is going to be one of my current favorites. We've had it on the show before. But it is Great Lakes Vibacious Double IPA. 9%. Good vibes and delicious intertwine in every sip of this bold, smooth-drinking double IPA. 40 IBUs, like I said, 9.0 alcohol by volume. This is I would say within the last 2 years, a new creation for Great Lakes, and it's one of the best beers that I think they've ever come out with. It's one of my favorites. 9%, so don't go crazy with this beer. Enjoy it. Drink it slowly. And really good summer beer. This is going to be really good this summer. Once again, when the weather turns, we had a little taste of that over the last few days. Sunday. It did. We played golf in the morning on Sunday. It was not warm, but it ended up warming up in the afternoon. Got above 60.
Like you said, when we got to the course, we should have played at 3 o'clock. We shouldn't have played at 9 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. And then Monday was just, I mean, I don't think you. Not even for March, but at any point throughout the year, I don't know if you can ask for better weather than we had on Monday.
It was 74 degrees and sunny. Mm-hmm. That's about as good as it gets, folks.
Damn near felt like San Diego out there.
Stay classy.
That's right. It was beautiful. And then yesterday, we still stayed warm. We were in the upper 60s, right around 70 for most of the day yesterday. And then today it's 42 and rain. And now...
Well, let's not bury the lead. About 2 o'clock on Tuesday, actually a little bit before 2 o'clock,
oh,
we had
right.
some significant storms. Thunder, lightning, hail, even in some spots. I can't remember that having ever come so early in the season, March 5th. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was some wild weather yesterday.
And not surprising when you're talking about going from 74 and sunny to what we have today, which was basically just rain, fog, cold, maybe about 40 degrees.
Yeah, the fog really rolled in this evening, didn't it?
It's just one of those damp, kind of miserable days. So, like, you know, you're going from one end of the spectrum to the other here. And, you know, when you're in on that day in between when the front goes through, particularly in the springtime, you know, that usually means stormy weather, and that's certainly what we had yesterday. So,
yep.
You know, I'm just glad the hail and stuff was not bad enough to actually do damage. So,
right. And then, yeah, the rest of the week, you're looking at normal early spring weather, 50s, rain, 40s, 50s, rain. That's pretty much what we're looking for. You look into next week, mid-50s, rain, mid-40s, rain.
Rain would not be newsworthy you know, as you get into March and certainly into April. My hope is that a month from now, when we have the eclipse, that we don't have a day like we had today, because that would just that would totally suck.
Yeah, yeah, it would for sure. So anyway, that it's somewhere in there was your beer of the week, and also your weather on the 20s on LOTL.
Yeah. So shout out to Philly fan and MB who are still in Florida and don't care about this segment.
Oh, but. Very nice. Yeah. 8.1 is your rating.
Oh, that's not very elite. 8.1. That is a strong rating right there.
Yeah, that's strong beer.
Hmm. All right. Well, speaking of strength, we are transitioning into BCAN, and this is we got a neighborhood tonight that is really an embodiment of strength in a lot of ways. This neighborhood, we're staying on the east side, but we're moving up a little bit more closer to downtown than last week. Last week, we were down way in the southeast corner of Cleveland in Lee Miles neighborhood. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Fairfax neighborhood, which is immediately to the south of the Cleveland Clinic main campus, actually takes in half of the Cleveland Clinic main campus. This neighborhood, if you look at geographically, is bounded on the west side by East 71st Street, in the south by Woodland Avenue, in the east by East 105th Street, and in the north by Euclid Avenue. So almost a complete square, pretty much, over that area. And, well, I should say, East 105th Street is also the top of the Opportunity Corridor Road, which also runs through the very southeast corner of the district. So this is an area that has a lot to really offer. It, historically speaking, hasn't been all that great in terms of the business and the residential offerings, but this is an area that's really starting to come up. Realtor.com lists the average home price in Fairfax about $70,000, which doesn't sound great until you consider that Fairfax home prices were up 7.7% year over year in 2023.
Hmm.
That is higher than all but two other neighborhoods in Cleveland, those being Ohio City and Detroit Shoreway, which are, you know, considered to be highly desirable areas.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely, if you're one of those people, you know, we'll talk more about investing when we get to in other news, but if you're one of those people that is, like, you know, into the Airbnb game, or, you know, is looking at, you know, investing in real estate, Fairfax is one of the top neighborhoods where you might want to do that.
Hmm.
You know, it's something where I would think that that home price year over year, with the proximity to Cleveland Clinic main campus, with the proximity to Opportunity Corridor and all of the industrial and warehousing distribution companies that are starting to go into that area, it's a very desirable area now to get into. It's early, just like how Detroit Shoreway was maybe about 8-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly still considered to be a rough area, you know, if you look at crime and some of the other, you know, factors. But if you're in for the, and can stomach that, there's definitely money to be made in this area.
Hmm.
I mentioned the Cleveland Clinic main campus, so we might as well just go over some of the numbers here. Cleveland Clinic is massive, and its main, well, across its whole system, you're talking about 80,000 employees, caregivers, 23 hospitals, and 276 outpatient facilities in locations around the globe.
Nice little startup.
Yeah. If you're talking about just the, so 6,690 beds in total, of which about 2,000 of them are at the main campus. You've got three, so across just the main campus, you had over 3 million patients that were seen at just the main campus last year.
Wow.
You had about 323,000 admissions. That's across the whole system. Virtual visits, about 917,000. 950,000 visits to the emergency departments. That's the main campus and the two main emergency hospitals, Fairview on the west side and Hillcrest on the east side.
Jeez.
So that is huge. You've got 5,700 physicians and scientists that work at Cleveland Clinic. Approximately half of those work at the main campus. You've got 16,536 registered nurses. Again, about half of those are at the main campus, which would be a little over 8,000. So operating revenue, you ready for this? About $14.4 billion with a B. And again, about little under half of that is coming directly from the main campus itself. Education, jeez, you've got about 2,200 residents and fellows that work at Cleveland Clinic. Again, the majority of those are at the main campus. Again, this is right down the street from Case Western Reserve University and Cleveland State University, which both partner very closely with Cleveland Clinic. So there's just so much going on. There's 3,719 active research projects currently going on at Cleveland Clinic. That is incredible. Wow. Like, just the sheer might of all of this, you know, within the state of Ohio itself, you're talking about economic impact. This is from back in 2019. I don't know why they're giving us that. Maybe because it was last year pre-COVID, but economic impact to the state of Ohio, $21.6 billion that year. I would imagine it's probably similar to that now. You've got across the whole country, you got 34. It's 34.5 million. You have a pretty significant. They have a pretty significant presence in Florida. There's actually some presence now in Nevada as well, because they opened up a facility in Las Vegas not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, internationally, there are facilities, I believe, in Dubai and Abu Dhabi in the Emirates, and there might be there's a few others internationally as well. I don't want to speak out of turn because I didn't actually look those up, but I know for a fact because way back when, in 2016, I actually interviewed for a position at Cleveland Clinic, and it was actually in Abu Dhabi, Emirates. I didn't know that when I first applied. But
I was going to say.
They disclosed that at the first interview, and I'm like, oh, well, that is fascinating. I ultimately didn't move past the first round of the interviews, but that would have been really interesting if I would have gotten offered the position, if I would have actually done it. So,
yeah, that would be wild.
Gosh, I would have seen the evolution of that country growing up, basically from being in, you know, this almost desert backwater. Well, by 2015, it wasn't so much, but, you know, by then, you know, certainly becoming the incredible metropolises that Dubai and Abu Dhabi are today. Mm. But anyway, getting back into Cleveland, so Fairfax neighborhood was actually an area that was classified by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development as a food desert for a long time. Not anymore. There is now, there are two major areas for grocery. One is more wholesale and one is a traditional grocery store. The main grocery I'm talking about is the Fairfax Meyer store, which is at the corner of East 105th and Cedar. That just went in last year, and on the upper levels of that building is a residential apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually one of those deals where, like, if you live there, you can actually just go shopping and then just go right back into the elevator. You don't even have to leave the building, which is actually really cool.
Hmm.
That's right across the street from the southeast corner of the Cleveland Clinic main campus. And Meyer, if you don't know, they're based in Michigan. And for the longest time, they had presence in central and northwestern Ohio, but didn't have any presence, and in southwestern Ohio, but they didn't have any presence up here in the northeast. That changed when they started moving in just ever so closer. They moved to Sandusky, then they went in Avon, and then now they've pretty much, you know, I think they have coverage pretty much all over the area now. Brunswick has a store now that I think they have a couple locations out on the east side now too.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like a lot of businesses. Meyer was one, Culver's was another, Chick-fil-A was another. When they first, and Raising Cane's too, when they first start coming in, it seems like they always go up on the west side before they make it to the east side. And then eventually they do make it out east. But like even now, Chick-fil-A and Culver's, I know, don't have as much of a presence on the east side. And still doesn't, Meyer doesn't either, but they're getting there. I don't know if that's just because the east side is harder to break into, because maybe there's more local business over there historically compared to the west side. I mean, that's the perception. I don't know if that's reality, but you know, that seems to be what's going on. But again, the Meyer Fairfax Market, that's corner East 105th and Cedar. Perfect location for people who both live in the neighborhood and also are transient who work at the Cleveland Clinic main campus. I want to point out another one of these, though. Farmhouse Distributors Incorporated, which is at the corner of the Opportunity Corridor and Woodland Avenue. This business is a wholesale distributor of quality fresh and frozen seafood, meats, and poultry. This business has actually been in Cleveland since 1974, but they have a relatively new location, again, right at the corner of the Opportunity Corridor and Woodland Avenue. And again, it has retail meat and fish market along with wholesale. You can come in there. You can just carry stuff right out. They also have a second location at Southgate Shopping Center in Maple Heights. So if you're out in that area on the southeast side, that's another place that you could actually go. 9000 Woodland Avenue in Cleveland is the main location. They are closed on Mondays, but they are open every other day of the week. Well, they're closed on Sunday and Monday. They're open every other day of the week, Tuesday through Saturday, open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. So definitely a great place to check out, particularly from the east side of town. You don't want to truck out to the west side market. Definitely could be something to look at. And then there's another place that is actually quite fascinating. This is a community theater, Karamu House Community Theater. Their tagline is a joyful gathering place. This is at the corner of Quincy and East 91st Street. Not really on the beaten path, not exactly a place that you'd look to, you know, when you're thinking of entertainment, but this is a really neat community theater, supposedly. It's not like really large or anything like what you might see in Playhouse Square, but it seats about 500 people, and there's a little bit of standing room as well. And they are currently showing two shows. One is It Happened in Atlanta. This is four college friends from Cleveland come together for their 20th college reunion weekend. When the dark liquor, weed, and card game called For Better or For Worse come out, they are forced to wrestle with their secrets about just what happened on that night in Atlanta. Fascinating. It's almost like a theater production of Cards Against Humanity.
Speaking of things that are going to happen in Atlanta tonight, I don't have a good feeling, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second.
Talk about if you've seen this movie before.
Yeah, second night of a back-to-back in Atlanta. Oh, I'm sure that's going to go well.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'll wrap this up. So you got the other show that they're showing right now at Karamu is this Choir Boy. This is the Charles Drew Prep School for Boys is dedicated to the creation of strong, ethical black men. Ferris wants nothing more than to take his rightful place as the leader of the school's legendary gospel choir. Can he find his way inside the hallowed halls of this institution if he sings in his own key? Okay, that's an interesting one there. So, yes, Karamu House Theater is at 2355 East 81st Street. I previously said East 91st. It's actually a corner of Quincy and East 89th Street. 2355 East 89th Street in Fairfax. So you've got healthcare, you've got grocery, and you've got actually a really nice community theater, which I may have to check this place out actually one of these times. So Fairfax has got a lot to offer. It's a neighborhood that if you go there on, full disclosure, if you go there on New Year's Eve or on the 4th of July, everybody will probably be shooting off their guns. That's just what they do. But again, it's a neighborhood that is really very much on the up and up. And I think come 4 or 5 years from now, we'll be talking about this neighborhood as quite possibly, it'll either be Fairfax or Huff, which is the one on the opposite side on the north end of the Cleveland Clinic main campus, that we could be talking about this place is now the Ohio City or the Detroit Shoreway, the east side. It really has that kind of potential. So you can wham that with the left hand.
With a left hand? Oh, okay. All right. So that is your neighborhood for the week. You better get to know it. And we move along. Yeah. There was a basketball game last night at the corner of
and Huron.
I almost said Carnegie and Ontario. I'm like, wait a minute. Nope. There were no basketball games played there. Quite frankly, there's probably not going to be a lot of good baseball played there this year. But, again, boy, I'm just a ball of positivity right now. All right, let's be positive for a second. The Cavs won last night. I actually got to watch the game because it was on TNT. I watched the whole game. Even though we were down by 22 points with, like, 9 minutes left in the game, I still was watching the game because I had a bet and I needed Darius Garland to score 20 points. He did not.
I'm still waiting for the positivity, by the way.
The positivity comes that I am not upset of losing my bet because the Cavaliers came back from 22 points down with about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter and won the basketball game against the Boston Celtics.
That's just pretty darn incredible.
Listen, this team, the All-Star break came at a horrific time for this basketball team. This team was riding high. They had won, you know, well, 17 out of 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
The All-Star break comes out, and now they are just sputtering out of the All-Star break.
Tell me if I've seen this movie before. That seems like the last two seasons before now, too.
And now we're just getting killed with injuries. Donovan Mitchell might be out for a couple weeks. Max Strus
That's
did not,
not good.
Max Strus did not play last night. Evan Mobley got hurt, sprained his ankle last night in the second quarter, did not return to the game. Cavs just put out a press release as we were starting this episode saying that he is out for at least a week. He'll be reevaluated in a week. My guess is he probably misses 3 to 4 weeks. It's a big man with an ankle sprain. They're not coming back in a game or two. So,
and let's be fair here for a second. When you say sputtering, that usually implies that we're losing more games than we're winning. We are actually 4-4 since the All-Star break. And I've played some tough teams in there too.
Well,
Boston, Dallas, Philadelphia. Yeah, okay. We had a couple easy
Philadelphia without Joel Embiid at home. Like, let's
that
not
was a, that was a way actually, but yeah.
Whatever.
Without Joel Embiid, not good.
I'm talking about the injuries. Let me read off the Cavs' starting lineup tonight real quick. Darius Garland, Isaac Okoro, George Niang, Dean Wade, who, by the way, last night was the real D. Wade. We'll get into that. And Jared Allen. Yeah. That sounds like a Cavs right after LeBron starting lineup almost.
And it's the second night of a back-to-back
on the
road.
Yeah. In Atlanta.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you're a real Cavs fan, you don't need us to tell you about how the Cavs usually fare in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Unless it's LeBron in the playoffs.
Whatever the line is on this game, I would be pounding Atlanta big time.
Oh, Steve's going to pound it, all right. Well, actually, the first quarter's already over. Or no, wait. The game just got started. What am I doing?
I don't know. What are you doing?
I don't know. Oh, man. It's been a day. So, yeah. Not good. I was trying to look up the line. For whatever reason, I thought the first... You know, I get the you get the notifications at the end of every quarter. I thought it was the end of the first quarter notification, but it was just that the game had started. Let's see. I believe the line was Atlanta -2.5.
Yeah, I would be taking Hawks all day on that. Going back over the past week, since this is the week that was.
Yeah, it's 4-3 right now, and the live line is Cavs +3.
The Cavs actually started the week on the second night of a back-to-back. It was in Chicago. They ended up losing that game in overtime, which was kind of unfortunate. They then went to Detroit. They defeated the Pistons. Then comes the game that still has me flustered, where the Cavs played at home against the Knicks. Didn't play well, looked soft, lost the game.
We are their bitch.
You know, it's just...
We cannot beat that team.
And then two nights later, they make that amazing comeback to beat Boston. So we went 2-2 over the last week. We're 4-4 over the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking that we're not going to win this game tonight, but let's not be presumptuous. You know, if they win this game, they would go to over 500 since the break. It would get them actually back to 20 games over 500. But the issue is the Cavs have done this, where they've won a decent amount of games each of the last two seasons. Last year, 2 years ago, they got knocked out in the play-in tournament. Ugh, stupid play-in tournament. Then they get beat in the first round the next year against the Knicks. I need to go to the standings here. So right now, if you look at the Eastern Conference standings.
Yeah. The Boston problem is right now we don't know who we will play in the first round because I'm pretty sure we're the 3 seed.
Yeah, I'm getting to that part. Okay. That's my main point. But Boston is number one. Milwaukee is number two. They're a half game ahead of the Cavs, who are now in third.
Yep.
After that, the Magic and the Knicks, the Magic are really on a run right now. They've won 8 out of the last 10, are tied for fourth right now. The Magic, I guess, own the tiebreaker over the Knicks. So the Knicks are sitting fifth. The Heat are are tied with the 76ers for sixth place, and the Heat must have the tiebreaker there. So the Pacers currently bringing up the eighth spot. So if you look at these teams, the Cavaliers have played pretty doggone well over the last two or three years against both Boston and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
To the point where you would think, okay, we'd probably be at a disadvantage against either of those two teams because they're so good, but Cavs have the record to think that they could really cause problems for those two teams.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the teams that are behind us, like the Knicks and the 76ers, boy, I don't like that. I don't like the idea of us having to play either one of those in the first round.
Especially if the 76ers get Joel Embiid back.
Yeah, like, we don't beat the Knicks. We don't beat the 76ers. We just don't.
Yeah.
And then the team that, as of right this moment, that we would be playing would be Miami. We haven't done poorly against Miami. In fact, we've done really well against Miami head-to-head over the last two or three years.
Yeah, but who wants to play them in the playoffs?
That was exactly it. Miami, regardless of seed, is a load to have to face in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Last year, they were the eighth seed. They made the finals.
Yep.
A few years before that, they were the fourth seed. They made the finals again.
Yep.
Like, they are an incredibly difficult out. Just ask the Milwaukee Bucks.
Not even.
They've gotten knocked out by Miami twice in the last 4 years.
Didn't the Heat genuinely sweep the Bucks last year? Didn't they knock them off in five?
Actually, that's happened twice. It did happen in 2020 as well.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
man.
Were the Bucks missing Giannis for a lot of that series last year?
No.
Well, then that makes it even. Yeah, I mean, it's. I didn't mean to invalidate that. For some reason, I thought he was out for part of that series, but still. You know.
Well, it's also not like they got by the Bucks and then they flamed out.
I know. They ended up going through Boston in the conference finals, and they were the top seed. Or no, they're the second seed. So
yeah, they beat the top two seeds in the playoffs last year as the eight seed to get to the finals.
It's as good as it gets. Like,
I mean, so it's literally a pick your poison for the Cavs. It's like, it's almost like if you're the Cavs, are these injuries going to be a blessing in disguise, and we're going to fall down the Eastern Conference totem pole a little bit? Like, obviously, I don't want to fall into the play-in, but you know, I don't know.
Right now, you're five games ahead of Philadelphia, who's sitting seventh. So you'd have to really just kind of gack it down the stretch for that to happen. I'm not going to say that can't happen, because that's what happened in 2022. Yeah. But, like, you certainly hope that they would at least be able to play well enough to avoid that fate. But it almost seems like, again, from the outsider perspective, you look at the Eastern Conference and you'd say there's two main contenders. I mean, I don't know if anyone would really consider the Cavs a contender, but if you look at the record, the Cavs are the other team that have 40 wins at this point. Mm-hmm. The next teams after that only have 36, you know, the Magic and the Knicks, and then the Heat and the 76ers and the Pacers all with 35. So it's a pretty clear delineation between who's near the top and who's not. But if you look at how the Cavs play against these teams individually, it almost makes it seem like it's going to be hard right from the beginning. Like, because right now you're looking at either the Knicks, the Heat, or the 76ers, or maybe if you get lucky, maybe you get Orlando or Indiana. But you know what? Indiana's beaten us too. You know, they haven't been the easiest out for us. In fact, one of the games we lost to them early on the season kept us out of the knockout round of the NBA in-season tournament, which, you know,
right.
I don't know how much you care about that, but.
Not a lot.
I mean, Pacers been all the way to the final of that tournament, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, where they got beat by the Lakers. So,
yep.
You know, that's even Indiana is not chopped liver here. You know, it's pretty much whoever you land, it's not going to be an easy go. The Cavs are going to have to prove themselves regardless, I think, is the lesson.
Yeah. And I don't know. I still have that sour taste in my mouth from the playoffs last year.
Oh, I do.
So it's even like
sour taste is back after Sunday.
Well, so even like, yeah, obviously playoff basketball is going to be exciting. It always is. Cleveland is one of the best markets for playoff basketball. But it isn't going to be like years past, obviously. Until we until we can, like, beat... I don't know if this is stupidity, but I almost want to face the Knicks in the first round.
Oh, that's stupid. I don't want that.
Because I am not going to feel good, really good about this. Now, obviously, if they go to the NBA Finals, like, this is all out the window. But I'm really not going to feel very good if we don't exercise those demons from the playoffs last year and beat those. I almost dropped an F-bomb. Seriously, though, like, New York fans are some of the most insufferable fans in the entire world. And until we beat them, they're just going to call us their bitch, and there's nothing we can say to retort it.
This would apply to baseball as well as basketball, too.
Yeah.
At least in
recent
years. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean...
Not football.
We will also be looked... We will also always be looked... Or not always, but... We will be looked at currently as the little brothers, and we hate that, even though if it's true, as far as, like, size of market, media, and city goes. But I don't know. Like, am I really going to be, like,
And New York fans don't really have a reason to be, like, all chest out and everything, because it's not like their teams have been winning championships. Like, their football teams both stink. Their hockey teams, I guess, are okay, but, you know, they haven't made deep playoff runs. Basketball has been really ugly for most of the last decade. I mean, Brooklyn was kind of okay for a while there, but, like, they didn't really... The last New York team to win a championship, New York City FC of the MLS.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
if you go back before, if you exclude the MLS, then you have to go back to the Yankees in 2009.
No, 2012, the Super Bowl for the Giants.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was... Okay, Super Bowl 46 was more recent than that.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, like, yeah, that's exactly right. They really don't have anything to hang their hat on. The one thing they do have to hang their hat on is the fact that they own us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Own us. I hate that feeling. I hate that feeling of when, like, now, if you're going to go back and forth with a team, like, yeah, you win 1 year, we lose, yeah. You win 1 year, we win 1 year, you win 1 year, we win 1 year. Like, that's fine. That's almost why I want to face those clowns this year, and I want it in the first round because I want to beat them.
You may very well get your wish, depending on how the seedings come out, because it's so close between fourth and eighth right now that you can't predict how those teams are going to come out. It's pretty much going to be those teams in, unless if either Atlanta or Chicago just goes crazy down the stretch, because Chicago's five games behind Indiana in eighth, and Atlanta... Well, actually, I shouldn't say that, because there's always a chance that Atlanta or Chicago could take the play and get there, but it would be harder to do because they'd have to win two games consecutively to get in.
Yeah.
But it can be done. I mean, Atlanta did it at our expense in 2022.
Listen, I got to give some credit where credit is due. We had a basketball player score 20 points in the fourth quarter and lead the charge to the comeback. And yeah. No, LeBron James is not back on the Cavs. Kyrie Irving is not back on the Cavs. And Donovan Mitchell did not play last night. Darius Garland didn't have 20 points in the entire game. Who the hell scored 20 points in the fourth quarter? Yes, that would be one Dean Wade.
Dean Wade!
The real D. Wade. Leading the comeback charge, I believe he hit five threes in the fourth quarter. And he had the essentially the game-winning basket on a putback dunk on a Darius Garland missed layup. I shouldn't say layup. It was a really difficult shot. It was like an up and under with two guys on him. Like, it's not like he missed a bunny. But Dean Wade, 23 points, 20 in the fourth quarter. Just fantastic. The Cavs defensively played fantastic in the fourth quarter. Boston, I don't know what in the world they were doing in the fourth. Their shot selection and their the way that they ran their offense, it's like the teams flipped. First three quarters, the Cavs offensively looked completely lost, out of sync, befuddled. And then the fourth quarter, the Cavs, especially Dean Wade, they couldn't miss. It was crazy. It was crazy. 22-point deficit in the fourth quarter. And we came back and won. Just crazy.
I can answer your question for what Boston did. They did what Boston people do. They got arrogant. They thought they had the game in the bag.
Well, Boston people don't get arrogant. They are arrogant.
Good clarification.
So I think they come out of the womb arrogant. That East Coast bias.
You know, they thought they had the game in the bag. They just started chucking shots like it was, you know, no big deal and everything. And then once they, you know, realized they were actually in the game again, they couldn't flip the switch back on.
As the late, great Fred Coleman, or Fred Coleman. Rest in peace. I'm sorry. It's like I just took the Lord's name in vain. Fred McLeod. Sweaty palms time in the fourth quarter, and the Celtics did not know what to do with that. The Celtics, you know, if you look at this current run over the last like handful of years with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, that team does not handle pressure very well.
They really don't. For a team that wins so many games and is always,
always get to the finals, get to the Eastern Conference finals, are they the team that just is that group, that core of players that's just never going to get over the hump? Is that what that team's going to be?
You know, you just wonder about that because, I mean, you wonder how long their window's going to be.
I mean, you look at this offseason. You know, they already had Jason Tatum. They had Jaylen Brown. This offseason, they went out and they traded for Jrue Holiday. They signed or traded for Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, they are as loaded can be.
I mean, not that I need to really look at the standings to validate it, but they're 7.5 games ahead of their closest pursuer.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at it, if you're handicapped the Eastern Conference, as far as the finals are concerned, it's either the Celtics or the field.
Yep.
Basically. And
pretty much.
Yeah, you know, it was a kind of similar situation to that a year ago, and they somehow gacked it against the 8th seeded Heat. You know? That's a bad defeat. And I'm not gonna go crazy over them losing the finals to Golden State the year before, but like that was another one that they could have had. They didn't.
Yeah.
You know, so how many cracks at the apple are you going to get? You know, maybe this will be the year. Even if you look at the West, like, they're 5.5 games against the best team in the West, which is the Minnesota Timberwolves. So they are, by all rights, the favorite. And yet, I mean, you could, unless you're going to go with the Ric Flair theory, which is to be the man, you got to beat the man, and say that, you know, the Nuggets, you know, defending champion, the Nuggets are only a game behind the Timberwolves in the West, so like they're right there too. Obviously, Oklahoma City is right in that discussion too. But like, is it gonna be one of those things where, you know, until they win one, you know, they haven't won one with that core, so it's like, you know, that's their mountain. Like, if the Cavs mountain is winning a playoff series, Boston's mountain is winning a championship. The two teams are facing very similar hurdles that they've been facing for the last couple of years.
Just different degrees, yeah.
You know? I'm hoping that this year the Cavs are the ones that knock them off in the Eastern Conference Finals.
That'd be fantastic.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. In summation for me, bring me the Knickerbockers. I know you disagree with that, but listen, I want to face this challenge head on. And I want to beat these clowns because I'm sick and tired of hearing New York Knicks fans saying that we own you.
Which is really just buffoonery, because what have the Knicks done in the last 20 years?
Beat us in the last two?
They have very short memories.
I just said own us. Not. I don't care what they've done overall. They've owned us head-to-head for the last couple of years.
It's true.
It's frustrating.
You know, before this show, I said, you know, just do not give me the Knicks. Do not give me the 76ers. But honestly, given the pack of teams there from 4th through 8th,
yeah,
I almost don't care who it is. The Cavs have got to go out and show that they can win a series. And I don't think it's going to necessarily be easy, even if it's Orlando or if it's Indiana. I think that
don't let the name Orlando Magic fool you. That's a good basketball team.
They just came out and beat us the first game out of the All-Star break.
Yeah. They're not a bad basketball team. Not at all. There really is not an easy we could end up with the 2 seed, and there really is not an easy matchup out there for us. The East, I mean, you talked about the Celtics being head and shoulders above everybody else from a record standpoint. Yes, they are. I mean, you might as well just draw their name into the number 1 seed in Penn right now, because they're gonna be the number 1 seed.
Right.
But two through 6 or 7, I mean, maybe even 8. Look, the Indiana Pacers, say what you want about that in-season tournament, they got to the final of that friggin' thing, and they're more than likely going to be the 8 seed in the East.
That helps you out record-wise when you win those tournament games.
Yeah. But it's just, yeah. It's not going to be – the East has won.
35-28 is 8th in the East.
Yeah,
that's the usually East that's literally what it goes is. 8 deep.
That's usually the West.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because in the West, pretty similar. Yeah. Dallas is sitting 8th in the West, 34-28. So yeah. It's like you have pretty clear delineation between the haves and the have-nots in the NBA. Usually that line is a little bit higher than 8th in the conference, but this year it's really not. And
listen, with the schedule we have in March and with the players that we have out to injury, it's not out of the realm of possibility that at the end of March we could find ourselves hovering around that 6th seed. The East is so bunched up.
You'd have to have some teams behind us really start to catch fire, but that is possible.
Right. No, I agree. And again, I'm not saying I'm predicting.
We have 5 games up on fourth place right
now. I'm not saying I'm predicting that. I'm just saying, like, the Cavs' schedule – like, they have a tough schedule in March.
Yeah.
You look at it. It's not because I think the Cavs aren't a good team. They're very injured right now. They have 3 starters out tonight. 2 of them, for sure, are not going to play in the next couple weeks.
That's a problem when you consider some of the teams that are coming up. Now, thankfully, the next 3 games to the Cavs after tonight are home. They play, but again, you got some tough teams. The Timberwolves, who I've mentioned before,
the number 1 seed in the West,
they come in on Friday night. Sunday night, we play Brooklyn. I mean, we should probably beat them. But then on Monday, the very next day, Phoenix comes in. Phoenix is currently 4th in the West.
Yep.
So after that,
we have the Pelicans in there.
3-game road trip. They go to play the Pelicans. They play the Rockets. The Rockets are bad. But then they play Indiana, who has beaten us a few times already this year.
And we do not play well in that building either.
No. Bankers Life Fieldhouse is not an easy place to play. You know, we talk about loud NBA arenas. That's near the top of the list.
Yeah.
If the Pacers are any good at all. Like, Indiana is basketball country first and foremost.
Yep.
So, and then after that, you got to play the Heat, and then you got to play the Timberwolves again. Then you got to play the Heat again. So, it's tough stretch between now and at least March 24th. I mean, you have a home-and-home against the Hornets after that. Maybe you'll be able to bank up some wins there. But it's, I mean, the work is cut out for us here in the last. What we didn't say when we had that stretch where we won 17 out of 19 was the Cavs were beating up on bad teams. In a lot of cases, that was true.
Yeah.
So you can only beat the teams that are ahead of you. Great on the Cavs. They had that 17-2 run.
Surely.
Build up that cushion over that big pileup from 4th to 8th. But the key now is to try to maintain and try and stay ahead of that pack and end up with either the 2 or the 3 seed. That's going to be a tall order given the injuries and the teams they got to play against coming up here.
Yeah.
We're hopeful they can do it. If they win this game tonight, that will really help, because, quite frankly, we're both expecting an L. So,
yeah, I know the Cavs were up by 4 late in the first quarter, so we're kind of keeping track as we go here. But
we will not have any buzzer beaters live on air like we had last week. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Yeah, not the Struce bomb. Yeah, that was wild. Yeah. That's your week that was with the Cavs. And really, it was just last night. But, you know, last night was such a great and unexpected, win as late as the end of the third quarter in that game. So, That was pretty cool. That was a fun fourth quarter for sure. And you know, we couldn't lose last night with the Kelce brothers in attendance on Travis and Jason Kelce bobblehead night.
That would have just been bad for him. Come on.
Yeah. So Cavs gutted that one out for the future Hall of Fame brothers.
Yeah, it's interesting. you mentioned the Kelces. So I saw a random post by the Philadelphia Eagles on their Instagram page a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you ever seen these things where it's like one's got to go and there's like three or four different options?
Yeah, usually they do it with like fast food or something.
Like in this case, it was three Philadelphia-based movies that had to do with sports. One was Rocky. One was Invincible, which is the story of Vince Papale. And the third was Silver Linings Playbook, which was Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence.
That's not a sports movie?
Only very loosely, because Bradley Cooper plays a hardcore Eagles fan in the movie. But anyway,
that doesn't make it a sports fan.
But anyway, the question was, of those three, one's got to go. And the conventional wisdom is that, yeah, Silver Linings Playbook, we got to go. But interestingly enough, most of the people who were responding, again, this was the Eagles page, were saying Invincible. And the reason why was because, get that guy from Boston off my screen. A.K.A. Mark Wahlberg, who is from Boston, a Patriots fan, but played Vince Papale in the movie Invincible.
Well, how does your dad feel about that?
He said the same thing.
There you go.
He said, screw anybody from Massachusetts.
Yeah, Boston people and Philly people do not get along.
Perhaps that's why he's never eaten at Wahlburgers.
There you go.
But then again, neither have I, which is bad. I need to rectify that.
Yeah. Shake Shack's better.
Shake Shack is better than Wahlburgers?
Shake Shack is good.
Oh,
hell yeah. Five Guys, definitely better.
Okay.
Now you might be able to get me on price, because price at Five Guys is outrageous. It's like $20 for a burger, fries, and a drink.
I should
the hell out of here.
Because go to Culver's and get that same thing for like $10.50.
A cheeseburger at Five Guys is $12.
That is insane.
Fries are like $5, and then like a medium drink or whatever is like $3.50. It's like $21.
We need to get Wendell from Miller High Life to come in there and be like, $11.50 for a hamburger. Y'all must be crazy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Boy, that's a callback. Real quick, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but last week we talked about Brown Stadium stuff. We're not going to get back into that because there's no news on that this week. But the Guardians are full steam ahead in their renovation and reimagining of Progressive Field. And I got to say, I don't like it.
Neither do I.
To me, it
looks better than what they had before, but still not great.
In some aspects, yes. Just because you got those stupid shipping containers out of there, and you got the seats out of there, because they never sell those seats anyway. So, listen, I understand it's a near impossible task for them to figure out a way to reimagine that upper deck and right field. But, boy, it does not look good. The exposure and the just leaving of the steel beams and the awning that was over the seats that's underneath the toothbrush lights, I'm pretty sure they have to leave all that up because they want to leave those toothbrush lights up, and you can't really take the rest of that steel structure down if you're going to want to keep those lights. I mean, that's iconic for Progressive Field, or those light fixtures. I mean, I don't know of any other ballpark in America that has those toothbrush light fixtures.
I do not either.
So in that sense, I kind of understand, but it just looks bad, man. It really does. You know what it looks like? It looks like it looks like they're building Progressive Field from scratch right now, and then they just ran out of money. And they can't finish the stands. That's what it looks like.
Kind of like Gillette Stadium.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
With the one section behind the end zone that's just missing.
Just the open end.
I don't know how we keep having Massachusetts references in this show, but there you go.
I don't know. Stop it. You did it again. You're the one doing it. Anyway, and then another thing I noticed, the Guardians are changing over the color of the seats. They're replacing all of the seats in the ballpark. The catch is they're only doing about a third of it this offseason. They're only doing up the baselines and behind home plate in the lower bowl. Right field is still going to be green. The club level is still going to be green. The bleachers are still going to be green. And the upper deck is still going to be green until at least next offseason.
It's going to be a couple season replacement, kind of similar to what happened with the seats inside Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Right. And I understand it's 40,000 seats. You can't. It's kind of hard to do it in one offseason to take them out and put them in. And, you know, you got to get 40,000 seats done. And it's not like it's football, where football is a 6-month offseason. Baseball is 3 to 4 months.
Well, the bigger issue with baseball is that it's
in the winter.
It's cold in the off season, so you can't really do work.
Again,
sometimes.
We don't have a dome. No. I don't want a dome for baseball. Baseball's played in the. I mean,
no,
you get,
there's no reason to have a dome for
baseball. No, there's not. There's not. I'm not trying to. I mean, you got to deal with the cold weather in April and then in October. But the cold weather in October, if you're playing October baseball, you almost welcome it. It's just, it's playoff baseball. It's going to be cold.
Right. You get a day like today in April, you just reschedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, no big deal. In October, you'll play through anything.
Yep. And then obviously the summertime. Summertime in Cleveland is
about as good as it gets.
It's, yeah. I mean, does it get humid here? Sure.
Yes.
But, it's not 110 and humid like South Florida or something like that. It's like 85 and humid.
Yeah, across most of the Southeast, you're talking about high 80s, 90s,
and quite frankly,
humid like every day. And or out in the West, you're talking about crazy heat like, 90s, 100s. Hell, the Texas Rangers did away with a ballpark that was only 20 years old because they needed to build a new one with a roof, supposedly. I still can't believe they did that.
It was older than 20 years.
The ballpark in Arlington opened around the same time as Progressive Field, did it not?
Well, Progressive Field is 30 years old.
Now, I'm saying that when they replaced with Globe Life Park.
Globe Life Park is only
2017?
No, 18? Globe Life Park is like 2 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay, never mind then.
I believe it opened up in COVID, if I remember correctly.
Still, ballpark only makes it 25 years. That's pathetic.
I think Arlington was like really early 90s. It might have been like it was before Jacobs Field. I know that.
It's the same style park as Progressive Field in Camden Yards, I believe.
Yeah, I think Camden Yards opened in Camden Yards opened in 92
or 3.
I think. Yeah.
They had the 93 All-Star game at Camden Yards, and that was like a seminal moment for stadiums, at least baseball stadiums, because it ushered in the ending of the cookie-cutter multi-purpose facilities that they had for almost 30 years. But once some of these started opening, it was like, okay, we all got to get our own stadium like this.
Right. Opened in... The first regular season game, this is interesting. The first regular season Major League Baseball game was played on July 24. Oh, because of COVID. July 24, 2020.
Yeah, we almost didn't have a season in 2020.
So it did not open to fans until 2021. So
kind of like the Death Star in Vegas.
Yeah. And again, like getting back to the weather, I don't think in the last couple of years here it's rarely gotten like above 85 here.
Yeah, summer is.
We've had very mild summers over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been mild, but the main reason is because it's been so rainy.
Yeah,
the last few rainy and stormy.
Like, sure.
Last year's was really bizarre because we had almost a drought in May and early June, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden we got into summertime and it just started raining like crazy.
Yeah.
Golf League, we had like 3 or 4 cancellations last year. 2021 was the worst. We had, I think, 5 or 6 cancellations that year because of rain. It was terrible. And then, in between 2020 and 2022, we had almost no cancellations.
2021, not only did you have to stay inside because of COVID, you had to stay inside because of freaking weather. Mm.
So summer's been hit or miss the last few years. Like 2020 and 2022 was more hot and more dry, but 2021 and 2023 were more, you know, mild and wet. Who knows what we'll end up getting this year.
Right. So, okay. What do we got in other news tonight?
So, in other news, so this is a little different. You know how on group text we have been talking a lot about various investing opportunities, really, from Airbnbs to Bitcoin, and why Brook Park doesn't allow Airbnb, which I still haven't looked into exactly why that is.
Yeah,
people would be making a killing off of Airbnb there if they did, but be that as it may.
Especially if they erect a giant structure there in the next 5 years.
Yeah, no kidding. That was the whole impetus behind that conversation. So one thing I've looked into recently is like, well, let me preface it this way. You ever had Dippin' Dots?
Mm-hmm.
These little like pebbles of ice cream basically that you get. And they've got it at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and they've got it at a few other places.
Amusement parks, school events, concession stands, yeah.
So I am a bit of an ice cream connoisseur, and I came across it. So there's this site called startengine.com, which is basically a repository of like startups that you can invest in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of risky because you don't know if these businesses are just going to go under and you're going to lose your investment, or if it might turn into the next big thing and you might end up getting rich off it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really, really lucky. I've never, I own stocks, but like I have never invested in anything like this before, but I came across this thing that sounded like the combination of ice cream and AI robotics, basically. It's a company called Dice Cream. And if this ever comes to fruition, this stuff will be in every arena, every university, every amusement park in the United States and possibly abroad. What it basically is a robotic solution with a sweet conclusion. It is something where you go up to a touchscreen and you basically tell it what you want, and it'll basically serve you robotically. It's one scoop per 40 seconds, ability to process three orders simultaneously. It's got 40 tubs of ice cream at any one time and can have up to 144 unique combinations between flavors and toppings. This is something that, you know, and this is ice cream. There are perhaps other concepts like this that are going to start permeating our food industry in the next few years. I don't know how I feel about this because this could potentially end up being a job killer to people, but unfortunately I feel like this is where we're headed. So I don't know. It sounds like to me like this could be like something that if you invest in, this could really go big. I just don't know with like the whole, I don't know, is there some moral hazard involved with like investing in robotics that could potentially put people out of work? I don't know. But
I don't know.
You know, maybe this is something that we'll have to put on the page and see what people think. But it's a startup called Dice Cream, and that's just something that I'm considering actually throwing a bit of coin behind here. So I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. But my thought is that if this does end up big, you'll probably see it within Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse and Brown Stadium and Progressive Field within the next few years. So
yeah. That's interesting.
But
it's interesting. Yeah, that it seems like it's starting with ice cream.
Yeah. It's something that one of the reasons why the owners say they think ice cream is a good possibility is because the profit margins in traditional ice cream parlors is not very high. It's only like maybe 25% if you're lucky. So it makes it easy to invest in something relies
more on volume.
Yeah, that's basically just volume and get it out, as opposed to stuff that you actually have to cook. Like that's not going to be very easy to replace with robotics.
Yeah,
you know, something that you traditional restaurant fare. So, you know, just something to consider. And again, startengine.com is the site that holds all of these, you know, potential startups. There's thousands of them on there. If you have any sort of loose capital that you're thinking about throwing in there, but you don't want to throw it into Amazon or, you know, any of these big businesses, you know, it's certainly something to do. What I should do actually within the next few weeks is see look around on the site and see if there are businesses that are actually based here in Northeast Ohio, and or perhaps at least within the state, because these guys are not.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe to highlight some of these as, you know, as we go forward here.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
But yeah, that's in other news. Dice cream.
Interesting. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week.
That's about it.
That is all we got, folks. That's all, folks. Bidip, bidip, bidip. That's all, folks.
Going with the Porky Pig outro. That's right. I like that.
Anyway, we appreciate you guys listening as always. Thank you guys for the support. And you can follow us on social media.
At Stiffs McGee.
And at Daniel J. Ford. Follow the show at the LOTL Podcast. And hope everybody has a great rest of your week and weekend. We will see you guys next week. Next week, the new league year in the NFL begins on Wednesday. That means free agency in the NFL is right around the corner. And you might think that the Browns are cap-strapped. Think again.
Andrew Berry always knows how to get under the cap.
Right.
He learned it from Sonny Weaver.
Wow. Well, yes, that, and there's also another big reason why the Browns are always able to do this, and we'll talk about that more next week. But until then, we hope you guys have a great night or day whenever you're listening to us. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.